Good morning, all. It's Thursday, the 7th of March, and we're here with Breakfast with Pat and Heels. We're brought to you by Burbank Homes. They are the builders you can trust. You can bank on Burbank. And, of course, Hyundai. The all-new Hyundai Kona N-Line is available right now. Plenty of news around, Heels.
Yes, there seems to be. And welcome to our listeners who have been with Brandy and Vossie for the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue those sorts of things.
Yes, well, a fresh take on two of the biggest controversies in Australian sport right at the moment. There's new vision emerging of players close to that Spencer Lemieux, Ezra Mam altercation in Vegas. And now we're hearing that Billy Walters is saying only that he will support Ezra if he's summoned by the judiciary. Several Broncos definitely reacted from this vision that you can see. Payne Haas, one of them, and he will have a similar show of support. So it comes as reports, Hill, so which we suspected would happen as this thing draws out, that Lenu has cut himself off from social media ties completely. There's been vitriolic abuse of both him and his family members, which, look, is awful. But not unexpected. I mean, that's the way of the world these days.
Yeah, and the longer it drags on, the more chance people have to pile on.
Yeah. Keyboard warriors jumping on, these anonymous hitmen and women. So, look, Lenny's got to be afforded natural justice. We know all that, and that's what the NRL have been saying all the way through.
But don't leave it so long.
But that's right. I mean, we're not due to go to judiciary until next Tuesday.
This afternoon would have been a good time.
Yeah.
A little bit of a day or two of recovery and get moving since the game in Vegas and now get it on.
Yeah. No, I mean, the NRL, they've pleaded for players to calm the waters before next Tuesday's judiciary appearance by Lenu. On this ungraded contrary conduct. But Luttrell obviously wasn't listening.
Yeah, this stuff isn't tolerated in the game. It should be rubbed out. And I hope that Peter and Andrew Abdel are taking serious consideration on the way this should be dealt with. And, you know, for me, it opens up a lot of wounds and a lot of scars for my family, my people. And you do have to understand the way we feel, all right? I think for me, it's, it's about making sure Ezra Mam's all right, you know, let alone from the fans, but, you know, from the players on field, it should be marked out, stamped out. So I hope that, yeah, like I said, Peter and Andrew are taking serious consideration on, you know, dealing with it. So, cheers.
I've had more than enough texts from people saying, stop saying it's just in sport. Get it out of everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that, it just shouldn't be tolerated.
No, and we know that. And the leaders are saying
Lenu doesn't.
Well, hang on a minute.
Is the claim.
Yeah. Let's not sort of baby with the bathwater here. He's got to have his say as well.
Well, that'd be nice.
He's been very flippant in his immediate post-match
flippant and now worried
reaction. And now, well, the Roosters have probably just said, shut your mouth. Say nothing now until we go to the judiciary and we'll consider our stance. So, it needs to, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need to calm the waters because, you know, it's Thursday. So we're still, 5 days away from him appearing at the judiciary. But, look, it seems that the new vision definitely shows Walters and a couple of other Broncos reacting.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, when the words were exchanged between Ezra and Spencer Lenu.
Yeah.
So they've heard something, and they have both, well, certainly Billy Walters has said that if someone, so look, what happens, if Lenu just goes in there and pleads guilty, he'll be dealt with and we won't need witnesses, et cetera. If he goes in and pleads not guilty, well, then we'll go down the track of basically, you know, a mini trial.
What did you say then?
Yeah.
What did you say? And then that's refuted by this, and this player. How do you answer that? So it's gone from Spencer Lenu being a wonderful signing for the Roosters and a great player to a number who's under pressure.
I know the other controversy, Heels, that is just dominating the headlines as well. There's been fresh revelations this morning on the Sam Kerr saga. So allegedly, and this is coming from multiple sources, allegedly the Matildas captain and Chelsea striker called the London policeman a stupid white bee. Now, she has pleaded not guilty to a charge of racially harassing the officer. There is police body cam video which will likely be presented if it goes to trial. Reports say Kerr was sick in the cab after a night out celebrating a Chelsea win in which she kicked three goals. v Liverpool. Her legal team is due back in court on April 26, trying to get the charge thrown out. They're arguing an abuse of process, given it's taken nearly 12 months to charge her. But if that fails, we go to a criminal trial, and that's due in February next year. So the whole thing has been, you know, widely stretched out. Chelsea have made their first statements on this, and the manager, Emma Hayes, was quoted.
I think the first thing I want to say is that, you know, Sam has our full support. She knows that. Yes, it's a difficult time for her. Of course, I can't comment it. You already know that. What I can say is that I know she's pleaded not guilty, and that I don't want to do anything to jeopardise anything for Sam by speaking about it. And for that reason, I'm sure you can appreciate that's all I'm going to say on the matter. But
anything? Yeah. What about getting that one on? The next question was, why does this take so long in England?
Yeah.
And is that a normal time frame for the courts? You're saying there's the appeal of the lack of process is in April. Is that right?
Yeah, that's next
month. That's in a month's time.
Yeah.
And then it's set down for February.
Yeah, if that fails, and if they fail to get the charge thrown out on a lack of due process, then, yeah, sure, we get a reported four-day trial in February next year.
I heard Vossi say, 4 days for that.
Yeah.
You could, that's a day for every word. Yeah, so.
Just about, yeah. Even the PM, Anthony Albanese, has become involved in this. He's saying that Sam Kerr has been exemplary in his interactions with her. She was, of course, the Australian flag bearer at the King Charles coronation, but he is going down the line of the Chelsea manager that, you know, obviously it's now before the courts, can't say too much, but he said, all I can say is, which is a little bit what Tony Gustafson
said. A little reference.
Yeah.
So, you know, has she shown up at Parliament House at all?
Well, I don't know.
No. Probably not. So she needs to get this on. Like, she's not guilty. She's saying, I'm not guilty. So the body camera, it's another afternoon trial. Done. And the body camera's there. The body audio, by the sound of it, the camera audio works. So there's a couple of things, isn't there? The conflict with the cab driver. And how did the police get involved? I wouldn't even know how a police, were they just there on the footpath? Walking past, or how does the police get called and then come in and then be the subject of this court case?
Yeah, well, you don't know, but I mean, you would assume that the cab driver's called the police, whether she's been
pretty good
ill in the cab, and whether there was a dispute over the fare. You don't know, but it seems that you wouldn't think that Sam has called the police.
She doesn't need this thrown out on a lack of process. She needs to be heard. And Chelsea, where have you been? I'm imagining Sam held it from Chelsea too, just like she did at the Matildas or the Football Federation. So they probably didn't know about it until now, and then she's got their full support because she's pleaded not guilty. Can they push it a little bit harder to get it heard?
Yeah, look, there's been quite a few texts already, and that text line is 0467 736 736 if you want to join us. 13-13-55, that's the Suncorp Home Resilience Open line. Brett, on the Sam Kerr allegation, what would be the uproar if one of our white soccer players called a coloured policeman a black stupid? Is it at all about equality? Look, to tell you the truth, that argument will go around, but Sam is of Indian and English heritage, I don't know. I mean, it's a very, very hard one, isn't it?
I mean, that police officer needs to prove offended that he is it a he? Or it might be a she. That they're offended. So, and then prove offence, and then it's racism, isn't it?
Yeah, Cuzzy sent one through here. Please don't shoot me down, but I have changed my opinion on the Spencer Linyu saga. I was reading an article but saw a pic of Spencer and it hit me. If a dark-skinned player called another dark-skinned player a monkey, it's a lot worse than a white person calling a dark-skinned player a monkey, etc. And I'm not being controversial here, but it just hit me that when I saw the pic of Spencer, up until here, Spencer wasn't a well-known player. He was pretty well known. He's and renowned tough man, Cuzzy. Look, yeah, these arguments are going round and round. But the simple fact is that we now apparently know what Sam Kerr said to the policeman, and you know, the courts will decide one way or the other. But yeah, look, we'd love to know your thoughts. 13 13 55 Suncorp Home Resilient Line, and 0467 736 736.
I think poor legal advice for Sam Kerr there. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the point I was trying to make. I think in April, if they are successful in their quest to get it thrown out, that's not going to help Sam. You know, she needs to have her say on, you know, these allegations and, you know, to clear our minds that she's okay.
Yeah, look, and it just goes back to the point, as you said, not tolerated racial vilification in any level of society, you know, whether it be on the field, off the field, anywhere.
And it seems like society and our legal land feels there's no way back from it. You know, an apology is not good enough. Well, I don't think that's right. You could move on from both these comments, I reckon, with good, solid apology, remorse, make up between Spencer and Ezra, a serious apology that first night with the support of your teammates, both lots of teammates, and so too Sam. But she hasn't said it, she's saying.
There's a long text here. I'm just trying to paraphrase, but for me, if we look at racism, sexism, et cetera, the impact comes from the prolonged, consistent prejudice and discrimination of one person to another. So for me, it's less about racism and more about being disrespectful towards a police officer, which is wrong in itself. No historical connotation about being called on white this or that. However, there is historical meaning and ingrained harm from generations of people when it comes to be calling a black or an Asian. And Vanessa's in here and so-and-so. So again, for me, I wouldn't be offended as being referred to by my skin colour, but I have not had that historical impact of racism. I'm just trying to paraphrase that. It's a very long...
Well, it's a long paraphrase too.
Yeah, well...
Well, you know, that person, is it a male or a female?
I'm not sure.
Can't you tell by the phone number?
Well, I couldn't get to the bottom of it. but yeah, look,
spend Friday night at the Valley and have a look at how much disrespect goes on. It's horrible.
Towards our
and the whole society is not very good at this area at the moment. And then our you know, heads of sport get caught doing something and they're held up to be the worst things ever. Well, that's society now. So we've got big, big problems to work through.
Let me get a mum's take. Look, I was taught as a kid, you know, you respect the police. Vanessa?
Yeah. Oh, look, yeah, respect, absolutely. But I agree with the text message. It's not racism if you're not the minority who has dealt with systemic discrimination and oppression, and, you know, where things have been put in place specifically to make you less than, you know? So, yeah, I agree. It's not racism.
You should stop
when
there,
you're
Vanessa.
The majority.
That is so well explained. You've slept on that, haven't you? Well done. That is perfectly explained.
That's my take.
Yeah, it's a good take too.
What else is
anyway? Okay, look.
What about disrespect? Could you sleep on that tonight?
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll bring that tomorrow. Okay, a very interesting one in the Courier Mail this morning, where firefighters are calling for a big investment in their communication systems because they're saying first responders are being put in significant danger, especially with bushfires and things, when they're heading out to Western Queensland, regional areas, and saying that workers are at risk of being unable to call for extra help because in these remote areas, communications are quite non-existent, and they say it hasn't been addressed for many years. So they're calling for about $380 million to just upgrade that communications infrastructure so that they can actually be adequately resourced, which seems fair enough. We all want in those emergencies for them to be as efficient as possible. Now, I know that you're not a pet owner, Pat. You are, Heels, now?
No, I haven't.
Not
been,
now.
No.
Would you want to sit on your flight, say you're heading to Sydney, Melbourne, wherever, and there's a pet next to you? Well, Virgin wants to bring in pets being allowed to fly in the cabin with their owners. Now, there's rules around it. It's not just any old Great Dane kind of roaming the aisles. It's for smaller cats and dogs. They have to be kept in their enclosure at all times. You know, there's certainly rules around it, but they're saying with so many Australians having household pets and being wanting to be able to take them away, that they are moving to allow this to happen on our domestic flights. Certain flights, certain legs at certain times. But, you know, would you want to see it?
Yes. I think they are so important now, pets, aren't they?
Mm.
And I'd like to see it. So when you get the schedule up, you get a little Wi-Fi signal for that plane. That's a Wi-Fi plane. And then a dog for a pet flight, and you can steer clear of it.
Yeah. Well, look, my last overseas flight when I went to New York last year, I was in an airport and saw someone lining up in front of me with their little pet carrier, and they allowed it over there. You know, didn't hear a peep from that pet whole
happens in the
flight.
States.
It was a little cute little dog. And I didn't realise how common it was over there. So, you know, I guess it is only a matter of time.
Doesn't worry me all that much. I mean, and obviously certain people need them to calm them as well on flights.
Well,
they get approval
assistance
now.
Assistance dogs, yes, certainly.
Anxiety dogs.
And look, just quickly, the classic movie lovers will know very well the iconic shirt worn by Colin Firth in the TV series of Pride and Prejudice. You know, when he emerges out, he's in the dripping white shirt. You know, the adaptation of the Jane Austen novel. Very famous scene.
Of course.
Well, don't remember it as well as you.
Clearly you've got a chapter and verse.
Iconic. That shirt has sold for $39,000 Australian dollars at a charity auction. Mm. It's gone under the hammer, and it's dry now, but someone
would still accept
has
water.
Forked out, and we'll hold on to that iconic shirt forever.
Clearly you were the underbidder, were you?
Yeah, look.
38 was
limit. 38 was my max.
It's 6:21. Thank you for those words of wisdom, Vanessa. We'll be back. We've got lots more text as well. You can join us, 0467 736 736. Stack of topics on the text line today.
Well, not really, Patty. It's not a stack of topics.
Well, stack of texts.
Yeah. On a similar topic.
Well, they're talking about the pets, which Vanessa ignited. Pets, imagine going on a flight with a dog doing its business, which they would through fright. I would not go on with 10 or so dogs breathing in that dog poo for the whole flight. I agree with you there, Pat.
Yeah, that's an early assumption, thing that you jump to, isn't it? You can clean that up real quick if you're a proper owner.
Yep.
And you got to, just like you clean a baby up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Percy, Vanessa, they should let pets on, as I've seen many human animals get on flights.
Yep. Good call.
Yeah.
And those bags come in handy.
Stu, who always joins us, morning, guys. Disappointing that we've got the airways filled with racism topic. When we should be talking about the footy games on the weekend. Let's all do better and put a stop to racism. Hear, hear. A sold-out Gabba, round zero. How good. Yeah, thanks, Stu. And we will. Don't worry. There's plenty of time for that. We've got Lincoln McCarthy joining us after 7:30 today. And Titans forward Aaron Clark, he'll be here after 7 o'clock. So they're all big games for these footy teams at the weekend. Oh, we've got your mate, Albion Park Trots boss and former Black Cap, Kenny Rutherford, joining us just after, probably in the next 15 or 20.
Now, he'll fill us in on harness, but also Hagley.
Yeah, well, of course, he runs Albion Park Harness now. We'll find out a little bit about what he thinks about this test match starting tomorrow in Christchurch.
Sounds like they're gearing up Mitchell Santner, spinner. How unfair is this on Glenn Phillips? He plays in the last test, which they take in all fast bowlers.
Mm.
He's the one spinner they use, gets 5 for 45, and they bring another spinner in this match.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be the spinner now?
You would think so.
It's like he's made 100, and he's not looked at for this test. Yeah.
Mitchell Starc, as he gets close to reaching the Lilly milestone, made a few nice revelations about what happened to him in his early days when he was perceived as just a little soft.
I think it would have been my first or second tour, and I was still sort of learning what all those pains were, and obviously the reports get around to from physios to coaches, and sort of got told to harden the F up a little bit. So, Timmy Nielsen probably made me aware of that early doors. And yeah, I think there's times where, obviously, there's plenty of times you need to be honest with the medical staff, but other times you've got to know when to push through things.
And we had the benefit of doing it both. To the medical staff, you sort of just tell him, I'm right, I'm playing. Mm. Because we only had a physio who doubled and tripled as everything they've got now, doctors and specialists in there. And it's, the temptation would be to be honest with them all. When he's hurting a little bit here, as soon as you tell a doctor that, he's got to rest you.
So he's sitting on 354 test wickets. Ooh. The great DK is sitting on 355.
I mean, something to reflect on if I get that far. I've never been really about those numbers. So it's cool. It's cool. It's humbling. It means I'm old. I've played a little bit of cricket. But we love the test wins. So that's front of mind first and foremost. And if I can get that far, something to reflect on hopefully at the end of the week.
His stats are unreal. His strike ability and strike rate are incredible in all formats. And it's... it's a really proud achievement that these three, the fab three of the four, have got. They're playing across all three formats and very, very successfully. It's incredible that we've got them.
Yeah, Hazelwood, 267. Cummins, 264. Lyon, 527. And M.A. Stark, 354. It's fantastic. Pat, Heels, what if they do dog farts? You want to breathe in dog farts so you can take my seat, mate?
Well, it sounds like you're very aware of them, so I reckon you've dropped a few yourself. So, are dog ones worse than human ones?
Yeah, they're shockers.
Hey! Oh.
Dimmy, hey guys, my warehouse, there's a change of pace here. My warehouse cricket team, the mighty PMs 11, which I've captained since 1989, playing our one-day 50-over final this Sunday at Kianawa Park, Tingalpa, 10 a.m. start. Come down and cheer us on. You'll get your choice of the best seating, full access to players, and best of all, it's free because it's a public park. There we go. An offer too good to refuse from Dim. Good on you, Dimmy. Well done. It's the warehouse cricket.
Is that our normal Dimmy? Yeah. Good on you, Dimmy.
Since 89 he's been captain. What's that, 11, 35 years?
Are the team happy, Dim? Well, you just
the team get a say,
you just impose yourself. No, well, good luck. I can't be there. I'm down the coast this Sunday, but
watching your Burley Bears.
I would look forward to finding out how you went. Mm-hmm. Burley Bears Saturday evening. I think it's a 4 p.m. game. A group of us are having lunch at the club and watch those Burley Bears go around.
Who are they against? The
Norse Devils.
Norse Devils. Mm. Oh, okay.
I think the last game I went to was Norse Devils as well.
Always competitive, the mighty Devils. It's 6:31. Let's talk a little harness racing, the Creek Albion Park harness racing in the heart of Brisbane. For details, go to thecreek.com.au. The boss, Kenny Rutherford, is on the line. Good morning, Ken.
G'day, Pat. G'day, Ian. How's things?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Rudds. We're a bit excited, aren't we? A test match coming up. But before we get to that, is the Creek, the Harness Club, staying in the heart of Brisbane, do you think? Or you're right in the middle of Graham Quirk's work?
We're the latter, Ian, the latter. So, I'm taking the Fifth Amendment. I'm a complete opposite of Donald Trump. I'm not saying a word, but... Look, if I was a betting man, I'd probably be a bit 50-50. I'll sit on the fence, which, as you know, Heels, is unusual for me. So let's put it this way. There's more submissions gone to Graham in the last month or so about it than, boy, hot dinners being served at the prisons around the world. It's just incredible the amount of information they've got to deal with, guys. And the decision we're all waiting with bated breath. It's a big one for the industry. There's a lot of participants and stakeholders who... waiting indeed to see exactly what the decision will be.
Yeah, sort of a poison chalice for Quirky, isn't it? I mean, here, there's 60 days, try and sort it out.
Yeah, well, Albion Park and our future is probably on the secondary list in terms of the bigger picture for Queensland itself, isn't it, Pat? So there's some big decisions to be made. It is election year, we know that. Look, I'm a newbie to the state and a newbie to Brisbane, but the stakes are very, very high, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, look, let's talk about the racing. And, of course, the massive interest for Queensland with Leap to Fame and the Miracle Mile.
Yeah, and Speak the Truth. Speak the Truth's a Queensland horse who was terrific last weekend at Menangle to qualify for the Garrard's Miracle Mile on Saturday night, Paddy. So two-pronged attack for Queensland. Leap to Fame, of course, is the champ. He's, can you believe he's only a second favourite to a horse called Hi, My Name Is Jeff, New South Wales horse Jason Grimson trains. And drawn outside or near the outside of the front line, which is always difficult at an angle over the 1,600 metres, Pat, as you'd well know. But very hopeful, Leap to Fame and Speak the Truth will run really, really good races in a honoured race. Going back to the Hondo Grattan Paleface Adios eras, my goodness gracious me, guys, back in the early 70s, and only six horses across the front of the old Harold Park. You know, it is a time-honoured race. It's one which harness racing enthusiasts really, really look forward to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just reading, since the Miracle Mile was expanded from six to eight runners in 2009, no horse has won it from barrier seven or eight.
And that's why you're getting good value for this horse, Leap to Fame. I think he opened up around the even money mark when the sort of the pre-post market was first formed 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's out to about $3.20 now, I think, Pat. So I'd jump on the Leap to Fame train, mate, to be honest. He's that kind of horse. It'll be very interesting in the first half of the race what Grant Dixon does do. I think he'll just hover around the front, three wide around the first corner, sit parked at around the 800 and just go boom. But let's wait and see.
Yeah, and very important for Kevin Seymour, who we know is just a legend in the harness racing industry here in Queensland.
Well, you wouldn't have too many more people around the world putting so much effort and time and his own personal money into a sport in one particular jurisdiction, Pat, would you? And this is the race for Kevin. Forget all the other races he won. He has won over his time. This is the one he's always wanted to win.
Yeah, yeah, right. We wish him the best.
You know, when he goes boom and comes around the outside, Rudd, how many horses do you reckon he's going around? Is there two in front of him then or three?
Yeah, well, look, the first part of the race, we're thinking, Hi, My Name Is Jeff, the favourite will ping out and lead. So just whether that horse, I won't say there's too many syllables, will actually really put the pedal down from the start. I'll look to try and pull up. If he tries to pull up, Leap to Fame will go around, sit park, and put the pressure on a long way out. If it's a true staying test, that's what Leap to Fame's after.
Mm, okay. Well, and as you know, mate, it would be a wonderful stimulus for the industry here to have a Queensland horse win the Miracle Mile.
Well, exactly, Pat, and he's a stallion too, so he's got some residual value, not some, he's got lots and lots of residual value in terms of going to the breeding barn. So, and look, what he's done the last sort of 12 to 18 months is it's just incredible. I mean, culminating at the end of 2023 with the ID23 pacing grand final at Albion Park, of course, and we all thought he might have a bit of a break after that, but he's done nothing but race, really, and it's been great to see. It's amazing at the Albion Park on a Saturday night, like this Saturday night, Pat, the crowd you get just coming along to watch the coverage on television, to watch their champ, Larry.
Good stuff.
Yeah, very good, mate. And talking about stimulating your industry, that's one thing. New Zealand cricket seems quite upbeat at the moment, don't they? And another big crowd expected at Hagley Park.
Yeah, there will be. Look, guys, I was actually at the Basin Reserve for the 3.5 days of the test, and it was great to see the crowd. Let's talk about the crowd, shall we? That was a great crowd.
Yes, it was a bad loss, probably, the way it went down. You know, you got exactly what you wanted, didn't you? That green, nibbly pitch probably bounced a little bit too much, and yet they just couldn't pounce on us day one.
No, that was the key. I thought we bowled poorly day one, as you were well aware, Ian, and just didn't get the lines right, didn't get the length right either, and didn't get Cameron Green early on looking to fish outside off stump on a more fuller length, did we? And that was probably the winning and losing the game, really. When you look at the way both sides batted over the course of the match, Cameron Green was very much the difference in terms of the batting.
Yeah.
But not to get 200, though, guys, on a pitch which was survivable. Look, it had its quirks, it had its foibles, but you can survive and get amongst them, as Cameron definitely showed. And to not get 200 in either innings by the New Zealand batting line, it just simply wasn't good enough.
Mm.
Yeah, and I tell you what, un-New Zealand-like drop catches too proved crucial. I mean, particularly that one with Lyon. I think it was Southie in the slips last ball of the day.
Got
and then he goes on to make 41 the next day. Yeah, and helps change the test match again.
Yeah, there are a couple of high changers in front of the embankment at the Basin Reserve. I tell you, that's one place you do not want to be dropping a catch, guys. I mean, goodness gracious me.
Probably
I walked
Dunedin.
Past there after I walked. Yeah, second only to Dunedin, mate. But I walked past there at about 5 p.m. on the first day night. I might have had a couple of beers just quietly. It's a major news flash, that one. And boy did they give it to me. Apparently, I've got quite a big nose. I didn't know that until then.
When did you listen to us? Hey, now, mate, why doesn't Lockie Ferguson play the test? Is he got carrying something or just not playing?
Have you been reading my mail over the years? Look, go back and look at his domestic record, mate. It's incredible. He really started his cricket journey by doing well in four-day cricket for Auckland and Plunkett Shield. So what's happened to Lockie? I don't know. Look, he's probably compartmentalised himself as a bit of a T20 guy, certainly the last three or so years. But I reckon along with Ishodi fellas, he's the guy which New Zealand cricket's kind of missed over the last 5 years. Two guys, I think, who could have changed the fortunes of our test cricket, particularly with the leg spinner of Ish, but also that pace and bounce. And he's a clever bowler, Lockie Ferguson. He's not just all about firebrand and sticking his chest out and bowling 140 clicks and bowling a dead straight like an arrow. He's got a bit more craft to him than that, guys. And I agree with you, Hills. He's a guy which, look, these days he's played so much T20, he could probably bowl an opening spell of six overs, but could he come back and bowl another couple of spells during the course of a test day? Not so sure anymore, but certainly I'm with you on that one. Very, very talented.
Anyway, you might win tomorrow, mate.
Well, that's right. Second test starts in Christchurch tomorrow. Hey, I don't know what we're like with harness racing. We've done Miracle Mile this morning. We've got an extensive coverage of the test. We might even get you on the Super Rugby next time we get you on.
Well, I'm busy watching QPR West Bromwich Albion in the background. It's 2-1 West Bromwich Albion. I'm quite happy about that. But what I'm looking forward to this weekend, guys, I really am. And my wife and I go down to Suncorp for Suncorp for the first time. The Dolphins against the against North Queensland Cowboys, 3 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon. Dead set must be sold out. It was hard enough to get a ticket, you guys. I mean, thanks very much for your help. But the big question is, where do we start at about 12 o'clock? Where do we start in town? There must be a venue which is quite festive.
The Caxton or the Paddo?
So the Caxton goes downhill to Suncorp.
Yep.
So there's the Caxton Hotel on your left. There's LA on the top before that, the top of Caxton Street. And then if you want to go past Suncorp, you'll see the Paddo just on the upslope, just after that. You'll be right.
Well, I'm terribly excited, guys.
Yeah, you might need to start at 11. And Saturday night, though, Reds, you could go to the Reds v. Chiefs, mate.
Just stay there.
Yep. I've probably got to go to work again. We've just been talking about that 5 minutes ago. Apparently, I'm the COO at Albion Park.
Hi, my name is Ian.
we've got to take a break. Kenny, always a delight to talk to you.
See you, mate.
Hey, Betty. Cheers, guys. Thank you. Bye.
So the racing action continues every day right across this great sunshine state. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing. I hope you're happy, Pat. Ever since your dog farts text about on the plane, you've put everyone off. We've only had one more text since then. And that came from Matty at Ipswich saying, boys, I should know. Patty should know that the Finns hang out at Hotel LA. That's their spot. Yes, I mean, well, don't worry. I've tested the fare and the libations at all three along that part of part of the Caxton
I don't think
Street.
You've been in the Ladbrokes lands, though.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, so I think Sunday afternoon, in you go.
I might go to the game.
It's at the back of the LA. And it's nice and comfy. You mightn't go to Suncorp if you happen to go to the Ladbrokes Lounge.
Now, while we've been talking about racial vilification most of the morning, let's get off that because there's been some fairly momentous decisions as far as the AFL and AFLW are concerned over the last couple of days. Coming out yesterday, they have affirmed that the minimum 12-day protocol for concussions will be maintained in both the AFL and the AFLW. They're saying 29% of AFL players missed more than one match following a concussion. 24% of AFLW players missed more than one match. But in a landmark decision, all other Australian football competitions at all ages, i.e. adult open competitions and all junior competitions, they will adopt a mandatory minimum 21-day return to play protocol. So 3 weeks after a concussion before you can come back to play in all other competitions other than AFL and AFLW. And
they're justifying that by saying they're not in contact with medical professionals every day.
Mm.
So it's going to take longer to get symptoms cleared and approved, go back to contact training, go back to play.
Yep. So the earliest that a player suffering concussion can return is on the 21st day post the concussion, provided they get medical clearance. Andrew Dillon, the new CEO, spoke on this yesterday.
We take the best advice from the doctors and also all of the experts. And the expert advice at the elite level is that the current protocols that we have in place are a minimum of 12 days with day-to-day and high-level medical care is sufficient at this stage.
That's the easy bit.
Yeah, so that's AFL and AFLW. All other comps, 21 days.
This is the hard bit, policing these policies and executing these policies. I think senior Australian rules footballers in the clubs will do one concussion, get one concussion, won't go back to the game because they've got to get medical supervision first and clearance. Then they've got to get clearance to come back to training and then go and see a doctor again and get approved to play again. How much does that cost? Who's going to pay for it? How's that going to be helped?
It's groundbreaking stuff, and we'll do a little more of it this week. I want to get Dr. Mobbs on from Sydney at some stage next week to talk about it. So we will do that.
And just to emphasise, the AFL policy is a minimum of 12 days. Mm. It can be a lot longer. If Dr. Mobbs might say, to heal brain damage takes 29 days, then they've got some real issues to make their minimum stand down period a lot longer. And then clubs have got to contract more players, and players have got to get less money at times. It's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. We've got one from Bondi Jack here, which I'll get to afterwards. We've got to get to a break, and we'll... A little bit of intel from Cuzzy. Massive signing and unexpected for the Broncos ladies' side with New Zealand Black Ferns Stacey Waka, formerly Flula, switching codes after the Paris Olympics. Nicknamed the Smiling Assassin, tough defender, pace to burn, can find the try line. She's aged 28 and has achieved everything in rugby union. So switching to the Bronx women after the Paris Olympics.
What great a name stuff. For it.
Yeah.
Waka.
Heels, you don't get it that the quartet argument is a nonsense. McGrath, Gillespie, Warne with Fleming or Lee would never have lost back-to-back home series to India or India's second 11. Payne, Cummins, Lyon and Langer threw both series away. Shameful indolence from Bondi Jack.
Yeah, good point, Bondi Jack. I agree with you. That quick attack would get the job done. Did we have the full attack when we played India at home in those two series? I'm not sure. It sounds like we did. And they didn't get it done on the Gabba pitch.
Mm. We better get two Stump Heels.
Got it! Stump Heels on SENQ.
Which has been racked with controversy all week. you're leading 2-1, aren't you?
I'm going to win on a point of process anyway, if I don't.
After we basically ruled you out of all three. And
I'm not going to have to wait till April to win that either.
It's the whole Moroccan Grand Prix thing that's left an ugly stain on the week. Which number did Michael Jordan wear upon returning to the Chicago Bulls after his stint in professional baseball? I don't think we can get this wrong, can we? Which number did Jordan wear upon returning to the Bulls after he played a little stint in professional baseball? Coming up very quickly to the 7 o'clock news, we'd love you to join us. We've got plenty coming up. Link McCarthy's going to join us. Nathan Fiend's going to join us. Aaron Clark from the Titans is going to join us right the way through over the next couple of hours. But I'll leave you stew on that one, and we will be back after Vanessa.